kiss, I can't forget. This aching heart ain't broken yet. Oh God, I wish I could make you see.
Hey folks, this is not really so much a Watchmen Weekly show or a Rejected Knowledge show. This is Chris R. Dern and myself, Gordon Comstock, just talking about dads. I was reading, just exchanging emails a couple of days ago with Chris, and it just dawned on me, something prompted me to invite him to do this show together, because I was thinking, you know, what's Chris doing this year at Thanksgiving time? And I know I was there last year, and it just got me thinking about the plight of men, and especially dads, in our American modern society, which is completely misandristic and attacks men and undermines their authority, and the stupid men haven't a clue, and it's their own fault ultimately. But I wanted to talk about all that. It's because it's completely opposite to what God's plan was, and Chris knows about this too. Chris, what do you say?
Oh, yeah, I just don't know where to start, Gordon. You just hit about five nails right smack on the head there. It is just such a phenomenon that we're living in right now with exactly that, the way the male authority has been so compromised, attacked. And, it'll be a really therapeutic show for me, absolutely. And I really appreciate your passion for me. You know, I sure do consider you a good friend, Gordon, and, you know, the plight that we've both been on with our families, and so thankful that the Lord's healing power came in and restored your marriage and such good news there, and I just give him the glory for that. And I got an email from my sister this week, you know, she's talking about her marriage, her husband, and I thought, oh gosh, I just wish that I was just telling me that they were doing a lot better, you know, and I, how much I wish that I was saying the same thing, you know, with my situation where, this thing, my waking process, you know, split my marriage up, you know, my now ex-wife, who I still love dearly, is just so, trying to satisfy her, her thirst for what the world's telling her. And it's just so hard to watch, because I know she's not going to get it. And as far as how this thing goes, and, you know, my kids are at her house now. You know, I see them all I need to, you know, I mean, I see them a lot, but I don't have the influence on them that I long for. And, you know, it's just ironic, because when you're just sitting here saying this, when I think about what happened in my life, and really the bottom line is, this whole thing started when the Lord woke me up out of the stupor that I was in with this lukewarm, seeker-friendly doctrine, you know, that was spreading through the evangelical churches that I had become a part of. Knew something was wrong, but couldn't put my finger on it. And I started waking up, and then I really, right off the bat, I realized that I needed to take much more of a, be more assertive with my role as the leader of my, spiritual leader of my family.
You can't do that as a male in modern American society. That's taboo.
Well, that's exactly what happened. You know, I always thought I was, and, you know, I was the guy getting everybody out of the door in the morning to go to church and all that good stuff, and made sure that, we did the routine, but, got the kids to the youth groups and all that stuff. But it was honestly when I woke up and realized that, I had a real problem in my house, I was the one that did it. I brought Harry Potter into my house, and And, you know, that ran its course at a time when I was compromised. And I said, man, this has got to go. And as I stood up with my authority to deal with this, I was met with such opposition in my own house. You know, my kids loved it. My wife loved it.
Oh.
And then I went to my pastors for help.
Oh, Frank, you can forget that. You mean your hireling shepherd?
Yes. And they blew me off. You know, I had a heavy burden, and I went to them for help. And, you know, regardless even besides the point of them agreeing with me or not, they just blew me off, minimized it. It was here I am, a member of the congregation, coming to them for advice and help, and they just ultimately they were dead wrong, you know. This stuff is just, and it's just an example of how I just wanted to do what I knew I needed to do, and I got no support. And really, that's what started the whole chain reaction to the point where I was kicked out of the church, and that was the support my wife needed to divorce me. She got the support from the church that probably kept her. We were struggling in our marriage. You know, we were, I certainly added a lot to that. I was a selfish, driven man, you know, kind of thing. You know, a Christian, of course. Anyway, that's what started this whole ball rolling for me. And now I sit back and reflect on it. It's just, it's amazing what I've learned. And I got to thank you for a lot of my knowledge has come from your, research and studies, and I appreciate you, buddy.
I'm honored by that. Well, you men, fathers, husbands are just figureheads in American society now, and that's why when that figurehead occasionally stands up and tries to assert some authority, no way, it's not going to happen, because there's so many reasons, but you know, two of the biggies are the fact that when we got married, almost everybody in America, you got a marriage license. It's a three-way polygamous contract, and we've talked about this. Completely anti-scriptural, where you and your bride declared yourself to be wards of the state, and you needed somebody to look after you. And so you gave that authority to this bigger party, the state. And the state is who owns you and your marriage and your wife. And so that's the real husband. That's the real head of the family in that union, is the state. And then, of course, the birth certificate, too. You've signed away the title deed to your children. But once you get the marriage license, the government, the state, has the property rights to any of your children, to the fruit of the union. Anyway, so, yeah. It's folly. American men are so dumb that they have nothing left after that.
Yeah, the Lord talks about the cord of three strands. I don't think that's what he had in mind. Yeah, I don't think that third strand was the state. I think that he was intended it to be himself.
Exactly.
Which it is. That's what's got to happen in a marriage. You know, the Lord's got to be in the center. And you know, I'm just so, you know, sorry, repentant of the years I've spent without the Lord, you know, vitally in the center of my marriage, because I became that guy that's been created out there. The influence of the television, and you watch these sitcoms and the movies.
Oh.
And you look back and you just see how the male has been portrayed as I just didn't watch Flipper with my little guy. You know, he's always wanting to watch these new, crazy, new age cartoons, and I'm always pushing him back to the old shows, you know, and we sit and watch the Dennis the Menace and which was an intact family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but the father had authority.
Yep.
And, Flipper, the father, but there again, right off the bat, you were always seeing, even back in the 60s, you know, it's always a broken home. What was that all about? All the Disney when I was in the car with the kids, I can remember saying, you know, when mom was at home, I'd say, oh, we're playing Disney today. We're out running errands and mom's not here, you know, so we felt like a Disney family because Disney families were always a single parent. What's that? You know, I mean, you can just see the brainwashing taking place even then, you know, and it's just so amazing as we got to this point in history now that, you know, we woke up to it, but while it was being done to us, we didn't realize. And you know, I was just a frog in the pot, you know, and it just, I just was able to jump out when it got hot enough. Somebody must have turned it up too fast or something, and I woke up before it got me. But
yep.
now that I'm aware of it, the support out there, we have to go to our little network of remnant friends that we can at least get encouragement with. But as far as substantial support out there in the system, forget it.
Oh,
you know?
For goodness sakes, yes.
I mean, we've become these, you know, you think about the Everybody Loves Raymond and the Al Bundys and, you know, this is who we've become. It's funny, you know, it's funny to the public. They put it in humor, so they desensitize it to you. That's one of their favorite tactics. You know, that's how they got the Harry Potter, the cult witchcraft, and they, you know, bathe it in humor, and it desensitizes the public to it. But, you know, I watched a little show with my guy here, my little boy, a Disney show, and it was a family. They're all there. The father's home, the mother's working. And the kid comes home from school, and the dad says, "Do your homework," and the kid gives him some lip. And the father says, "Well, you wait till your mother gets home." You know, I mean, what's that,
wow.
Right? Ouch. Ouch.
At what point is Disney and the media, at what point is it not a reflection of society, but is actually driving that mind control?
It is mind control. And
you mentioned the sitcoms and Everybody Loves Raymond and the commercials too. So much of what you see on television is, and the word for it is misandristic. It's misandry is the hate of men. That's another thing. You never hear that word. You hear misogyny thrown around a lot, but you never hear misandry. But our society is steeped in misandry, and in men in commercials are always portrayed as idiots. They're always in an inferior position to their wives or girlfriends.
Yeah.
It's so grossly insulting, yet men are asleep to it. Another thing you'll see, Chris, in sitcoms is, and this is, I think, total brainwashing, mind control, is it shows, there are so many shows like, say, Sex and the City and daytime soap operas where it really teaches women to be sluts and to despise marriage and family. And it's so tragic. I've never seen a whole episode of Sex and the City, but I saw a few snippets the other day and I was horrified. Oh, I know of one couple that is always on the verge of divorce and that wife really loves that show. I'm thinking, no wonder.
Yeah, no wonder. What is this? Well, what's the scripture that, you know, when it's in Isaiah, you use it,
Isaiah 3:12, yeah. Isaiah 3:12. It's, women shall rule over you and children, women do rule over you and children are our oppressors.
Yeah.
When you walk into a public school, you see that the children are the oppressors. They're running the show, really. They're giving so much leeway. And women, do they run the show? Oh, for goodness sakes. When Bill Clinton was president, it was really Hillary Clinton president. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just the legs of the octopus have just reached everywhere. And, you know, you look back on how did it happen. And honestly, when you really face the facts, it's God's judgment. This is God's judgment upon us and upon his house, really. And we've brought it upon ourselves by, we look at Scripture and it says that, perilous times will come, you know, in 2 Timothy, you know, and men will be lovers of themselves, you know, prideful, boastful, lovers of pleasure. You know, all that. Well, that's the baby boom generation right there. You know, that's what's happened. And it's all, when we really get down to it, it's the only thing that gets me through anymore now is understanding. And I look and I see scripture it's all there. This is exactly what God said was going to happen. And,
sure.
You know, it's happened before and the patterns in history, the complacency that Israel had, you know. And, you know, this is what we're living right now.
And that's, you just described the American men, lovers of pleasure. They've been so enraptured with sports and porn that that if you gave the average American male back his authority, he wouldn't know what to do with it. He'd run back to his porn and sports.
Right. Yeah, that's a very pitiful commentary, but you're absolutely right. That's exactly it. And, yeah, I just got to think about, this is this pattern I'm seeing now. I mean, the scripture the Lord's been bringing up to me is Hosea 13. It says, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore they had forgotten me." And this is it, you know. This is what we're living right now. This is the same pattern as Israel had. And ironically, this is the heavy duty scripture that I'm seeing coming together here now. In context here, this is the beast out of the sea. You know, right after this verse in Hosea, it's the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And, you know, we see that all replaying now in Revelation at the end of the age, when this beast has risen. And this is all aspects of this beast, which is this flesh religious monster that rose out of the sea. And, you know, working hand in hand with the beast that rises out of the earth, which is the apostate church, going hand in hand here at the end of time, bringing all about, you know, God's purpose as he does, you know, take the kingdoms back. I mean, this is what's coming. But the problem is, we're in it. We're in the middle of it. And we're men here trying to figure out our, you know, find our way. You know, this is the thing I struggle with, Gordon, is I've become aware of all this and I'm still caught in it. You know, I still, you know, my ex-wife, oh my goodness. I mean, there's this like this spiritual dynamic that goes on between us. You know, it's bigger than me. You know, it really is. This control that is there. You know, it's hard to say. I don't want to say, you know, too judgmental, but it's this Jezebel thing that's out there. it's the dynamic, that took place then with the way the, you know, what was the story where, was it Ahab or Elijah? Yeah. What was the story where he conquered armies and came back and just, you know, Jezebel made him putty in her hands, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, oh, Elijah, after he beheaded the 300 or so priests of Baal.
Right. That's it.
And he showed he wasn't afraid of Ahab at all, but boy, Jezebel made him run. Well, there is a certain, I think, and I'll be careful how I say this, there's a certain authority that God did give women over men. And there are certain things, certain gifts that women have that men don't. And there are times when a true husband and father, when he's in the position of authority, when he's got to slow down and heed the words of his wife because she senses something, he doesn't. And so what happens, though, then, is that when you take an evil, rebellious woman, and therefore, by biblical definition, she's a witch, because witchcraft is the spirit of rebellion, and she can reign terror over men to some extent. It's true. Because
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen. It has happened. I'm going to submit that's basically the dominant spirit in the church today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that whole dynamic, because this is going on everywhere.
And it goes back to Adam and Eve, of course.
Sure,
women,
it does.
Women, there are many, many things they do better than men. But one thing that they don't is the gift of discernment. And you saw that with Eve. She was deceived by the serpent. Adam was not.
Exactly.
And so women are not to be in the position of leadership. And when they are, look out, man, because you're going to be careening off track away from God's will, because that is not God's will.
Yeah, speaking of the garden, I mean, this is the curse that God, you know, put upon woman. You know, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and in thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. See, that's exactly what you're talking about, right? There it is. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for a woman when it all works, when the dynamic works, because what you just said is absolutely true. You know, the man and the woman are supposed to work in unison, and you know, and when they do, it's wonderful because, you know, you've seen it before. And I experienced it in my life. You know, there were times when, you know, my marriage was good and you know, we were doing the right thing, but you know, we're just under such a tremendous attack right now with you know, we're in the time of the great falling away. You know, when the church who we go to trust for guidance in these matters has fallen. You know, the church has fallen into sound, you know, fallen away from sound doctrine. And you know, we see it all in Scripture, and we can go to Scripture for our solace. But still, it just makes it's a challenge. It's just a real challenge navigating these waters of gross darkness and apostasy in these areas, these institutions that we were supposed to be able to trust. At least we were taught that growing up. But you know, here we are, and the Lord's making a way for us. But boy, I'll tell you, this thing still gets me. I mean, I've got this little you know, I prayed the Lord to soften me, and He has, and I know that unforgiveness is just a dead end street. And you know, this has been just so brutal, you know, with everything that I've been through. But I prayed, you know, for the Lord to just take the bitterness away, and He has, you know, He really has. And I've got this little texting relationship going on now with my ex-wife. You know, for goodness sakes, we've got a, you know, 18 years of our lives together, and. And I, you know, I'm just so, there's still part of me that is just so disgusted with how, you know, the audacity of her putting anything ahead of our family and splitting up our family. But it's, but you know, I got this little texting thing going on with her now where I actually have some, we're actually cordial to each other and, you know, even a little fun at times. But boy, I tell you, I can't, you know, when I see her, she just melts me. I just can't even face her yet. There's just something spiritual going on there, this dynamic. I can't put my finger on it. It's actually kind of freaky.
I know the feeling. I know it exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, I use your situation in my life, and like what I just said with my sister, you know, saying that she was... you know, her marriage was, you know, they were doing better than they ever have, kind of thing, and wishing that I was saying the same thing. But I used you, though. I said I had a good friend who was in the same position I was at, and you know, the Lord healed his marriage. And I say that it was because, you know, your wife had some good friends that loved her and rallied around her.
Yeah, she did.
Right? I mean, isn't that the truth about exactly what really took place in your situation?
Yeah.
You know, I was working on you too. None of us men are innocent by any means, but you know, go ahead. I just, you know, it's such a neat testimony, Gordon.
Yeah, God made me call. I tell you, first I spent. I should back up a little bit. My wife and I, we were almost divorced twice now, and this last time was really bad. I mean, we don't have money, but what little bit we had, we threw away on lawyers, and we got right up to the edge there. And we should talk about that, the lawyer bit too. But I would say the first time around, back in 2004, that was my fault. And this time around, it was more my fault. It's obviously always both takes two people, but this time around. I'm sorry, it was less my fault. And,
uh-huh.
Anyway, long story. But, I spent last Thanksgiving, here we are taping this Thanksgiving morning. I spent last Thanksgiving drinking beer and watching, old reruns of The Prisoner because a listener of mine, Leslie, a good friend, she sent me a gift certificate to Amazon, and so I bought the the box set of The Prisoner. I remember thinking how powerless this is. I mean, here I am, a husband and a father, and I can't even see my child. But anyway, it was right after the new year, I guess. I got really sick, and I was bedridden for at least a week, and I was visiting. Oh, I had our daughter at the time, because I took our daughter for 2 weeks down to visit my family, and thank goodness my mom was able to watch our daughter while I was just down and out, man. But about three quarters of the way through that week, I don't want to get into too many details, and I really wish, frankly, as we all do, I think, when that moment happens, I really wish God had chosen a different method to reach me. But anyway, I got prompted to call my wife and just tell her, even though, again, you know what, whoever's at fault, just forget all that and just call her and just tell her that I was sorry for everything. And what little did I know, and I was sorry for everything, and I also told her that that I was going to get rid of the lawyer. I got my lawyer because she got hers, and again, I want to go into that. But I just told her, I'm going to get rid of the lawyer, and you can do what you want. You know, you can, you know, rake me over the coals, and I don't care. I'm sorry. That's all. And when I did that, I heard some people in the background, some women's voices.
Wow.
And I knew who they were. My wife told me who they were. They were Christian friends of ours and of my wife's. And I found out later when I got back up here, and I found subsequently, I found out what was going on was my wife had, I think it was three ladies from, three Christian ladies we know that are kind of friends of ours, especially, you know, friends of my wife. They came over here and were praying, just praying about our marriage. And these women, they made no judgment at all. They didn't say he's a jerk and all that. They didn't take a stand. They just prayed. That was it. And so we both appreciated that. And so anyway, in the middle of their praying, and they were over here maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours praying with my wife, and that's the time that I called. And so when I called, keep in mind, we hadn't called and talked to one another in months.
Yeah.
And their jaws dropped. Wow, it was almost like in the book of Acts when Peter was let out of prison and Martha, was it Martha, or one of the women opened the door, and then she was so shocked she slammed the door back in his face and ran and told people, Peter's here. Yeah, I was really, but that's the moment I got prompted to call and do that. And, it was one of those things where I, even though I felt that I was, at this particular time, I was more the victim, nevertheless, I was the one that was called upon to suck it up and say, I'm sorry, I'm giving up here. You know, you can do with me what you want. Because in point of fact, I know that even if she had raked me over the coals with the lawyer, in point of fact, I know that she's the type of person that nevertheless, she would always, want me to be a part of our daughter's life.
Yeah. But anyway, you didn't have to go that route, and that's just, well, this is the Lord we serve, you know, and all that was there was just submission, you know, everybody just submitted to the Lord, and that's what he wants. He just wants us to do that, and then he can step in and work, but while people are holding on to their pride and their own agenda, and then forget it. He just doesn't do it.
Let's talk about the lawyer thing, Chris, because I'm sure you know about this. Did this happen to you? All of a sudden you get the thing in the mail from the lawyer with all of these horrendous, ridiculous, outlandish things said about you that were extracted from your wife?
No, I didn't get that. She spared me all that. It was pretty, I didn't go through any of that stuff. You know, I definitely came out okay as far as that goes. My child support is certainly manageable. I never complained about that to her or anything like that.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, she just, it didn't go there. You want to know why? It's because I was so, you know, this is the deal with me too. You got to realize with my situation, this is so crazy. You know, I'm 53 years old. You know, this happened to me, you know, 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago right now that I got kicked out of my church. And I'm just coming off of what happens to a man around 48, 49. Well, you know, I was just getting through a pretty, you know, challenging point in my life, you know, period, as far as my, midlife crisis thing. And I was really coming through it, you know. But, you know, I ended up getting through that at the same time this economy collapses.
Chris,
everything I was striving for was ripped from underneath me. And all I wanted to do was be successful and hand success to my wife on a silver platter. You know, that was my God. That was my idol. You know, the success and the acknowledgement from my wife is what I wanted, which was all idolatry that I look back on now that the Lord would have nothing of. And I see now that's why, he took it from me. And this is what it came to in my life because I was so bullheaded to see it until it was, you know, too late. But I was weak and submissive. I mean, I'm just saying this because I just submitted to everything. I submitted to her. And that's probably what I've been doing for a lot of years, is I was the one submitting to her. You know, she wore the pants. You know, I hate to say it, as far as the authority goes. And, you know, that's the big old, cliche, but it's absolutely wrong. A woman that wears the pants in the family, I mean, that's not okay. And we laugh at that.
Well, that's where I had to finally draw the line. Yes, that's what pretty much caused this last time with me. Chris, you mentioned something, the midlife crisis. I think that is a thing that is peculiar to our American culture, because or any Babylonian culture probably, it's because what in God's plan, you know, you read the how it was in ancient Israel when they tried following God's laws. Men were patriarchs. They owned land. You could own real property, unlike today, and you had authority over your family. Your children were your property. When you have it that way, then you do build a legacy up inevitably for your family and for your posterity and for your wife. But it's this helplessness of today's Babylonian society where men don't really own anything and have no authority. That's what causes that midlife crisis.
Wow, that is very profound. You know, you're I bet you're right there, Gordon. How would I know anything differently?
Our spirits, they sense that is totally wrong. You've worked all your life for nothing and have nothing to show for it, and this hideous, helpless feeling takes over. This fear of what's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it because you haven't been told what it is.
You haven't been told otherwise. You're exactly right. Yeah, but it's very real. But you know, being the strong Christian man that I was, you know, I pushed through it, and I don't know. You know, I didn't go out and buy the new Z28 or anything like that. You know, but not that I could afford it, but it's like I managed to push through it. But it was the actual feeling of not being in control, I suppose, or the submitting to my wife instead of the other way around, kind of thing in the family. You know, yes, dear, anything, you know, throw salt in the wound. I mean, it's the opposite of what they want. I mean, this is what's so ironic about all this.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Yes.
A woman wants the man to be authority and make all the right decisions, and they want to be a part of the decisions, which was always a part of my problem. I made a lot of decisions on my own, and a lot of them were wrong, you know, a lot of mistakes. But, you know, the man and the woman, you know, functioning together as one flesh, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. But now it's just so messed up. It's just so... It makes you wonder if there's any saving it. You know, I don't know if there is, really. I don't know. I don't really know, you know, where to go from here with all this, you know, advice to give our listeners or whatever. But, you know, here we are into this, you know, time of gross darkness as far as spiritually goes. I mean, where do we have support other than, you know, our own relationship with the Lord and, you know, maybe some internet, you know, ministries, maybe like ourselves, which hopefully we are being a light in this, you know, time of gross darkness. What do you think, Gordon?
We have the Lord. That's it.
I think that's how he's designed it, to push it right back to, you know, mano a mano with him, because there's not much else right now. There's certainly no support in the society.
And you mentioned that husband and wife are supposed to be one flesh and cleave unto one another. That cannot happen when you have the three-party polygamous union, the marriage license, because you've brought this alien entity into your marriage bed, and not only that, you've placed it over you and your wife. And you said that women deep down they need and desire to be led. And here's what happens, I think, is they sense over time in that marriage, because the both of you, the husband and the wife, have made this hideous mistake with the marriage license, she starts to sense subconsciously, I guess, that you're not really in charge, and she starts to be just like Eve in the garden. She starts to be seduced by what she senses is really in charge, the state. And so there's going to be that big temptation to be lured away by the state's lawyers.
By the knowledge of good, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, yeah.
Because today, most divorces are precipitated by the woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what the thing is, too? This is just so absolutely brutal. And somehow, some way, this whole thing has, you know, trickled down to today in that the attack that actually the little girl, you know, Satan has just gone after the little girl clearly. You know, I always go back to Disney, but what more single influential force has there been on you know, society than something like a Disney, where these you know, these stories have been portrayed as you know, the truth, you know, wishing upon a star and teaching these little girls to await for their Prince Charming to come.
And I can't stand those things. And my daughter is all hooked into the whole princess thing, and
it's awful. It's just awful.
Those things where I don't have the authority in my home to put a stop to that. And
that's where I was at.
I would love it if I did. But
yeah. But the you know, face it, pretty much every little girl,
she's a princess. She's my princess.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a you know there's nothing. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, I just dote over my little girls too. And there's this break of reality, this breach with reality there that takes place. You know, it's hard to put your finger on. Because face it, this is the deal. I mean, all it's done to set the stage for pretty much every little girl growing up and getting married and being disappointed. You know, every young woman, young married woman, the first year of marriage is on her bed sobbing, going, "What have I done?" You know, realizing that this man that she just married, you know, conquered her at the altar, and however, you know, wrong that is, you know, it's just part of the the male thing and, you know, reconciling all that once you realize that I've got this diamond ring on my finger and I'm here now. And, you know, I know that that's been a testimony of probably most women. But what do? You push through it. And with God's grace, you know, you march forward, you know. But
another thing in the media that does that is all of these sappy, unrealistic romantic comedies.
I
think that these romantic comedies, just like the soap operas, what they do to a woman and her ability or inability to have a relationship is the same thing that pornography does to a man. Because men, and you know who does a great job outlining this is Henry Mankell. Men want sex, and they're willing to trade romance to get the sex. Women want romance, they're willing to trade sex to get the romance. And in a functioning relationship, that works beautifully. But just like with pornography and the men, it ruins them for relationships. You get women watching these romantic comedies, and they, like you just described with girls indoctrinated in the princess thing, it fills their head full of unrealistic expectations that are never going to happen in the real world. These romantic comedies, they always deal with the giddiness of the initial relationship steps. But that's not life. That's only a brief blip in life.
Oh.
Most relationships, it's what comes after. It's, you know, another thing about that you find is on when you go to the grocery store and you look at all the magazines that you can't help looking at because in their checkout stand, you have a million and one wedding day magazines, all this, but you don't have any marriage magazines. And marriage lasts, what, decades, whereas the wedding is only one day.
What is that right there exactly? What does that say? It's just, you brought up Henry Mankell, and I certainly respect a lot of his, work that he's done. You know, his website is Save the Males.
Yeah.
And he's certainly been given tremendous insights into this, catastrophe that's happening.
He doesn't understand who's at the top of the New World Order pyramid, but
we'll
feminism,
see
boy, he's got that down. He knows feminism like no man in America.
Yeah.
He's in Canada, yeah.
But when we, why is Canada especially bad?
No, that's just where he's at.
Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, Bill, you know, from the show says, it wasn't women that brought about the women's lib, the feminists.
They were lured into it.
Yeah.
By Mankell's book, I have it right here on the shelf next to me, it's called Cruel Hoax.
Right.
And he documents how in the 20th century, the movement of feminism into the United States, it's a totally orchestrated and purely communistic phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it's designed to deliberately make women androgynous. And think of the iconic Soviet Union women wearing the overalls, going to work, you know, their comrades just like the men. That's what was done to American women. And it was helped along by CIA assets like Gloria Steinem, and make out documents her employment under the CIA.
Isn't that something? Yeah, and, you know, ultimately we know where all this leads, you know, up into that little pyramid. I don't know if we need to open that can of worms here in this little show today here, but this has been a conscious effort to. Well, there's a video floating around on the internet right now, and I haven't sat through the whole thing, but I did. Somebody made a 6-minute condensed version of it, and I did sit through that the other day, and it's an interview of G. Edward Griffin interviewing a Russian defector who laid out the plan. You know, the four steps of 1, demoralizing the enemy. You know, it goes back to that quote that Khrushchev made in the 50s, the the kitchen confession or something they call it. But he said, we will, you know, conquer America without a shot being fired. But the, you know, I don't know who the we is, though. I mean, I know it doesn't, when you say communism, you immediately think Soviet Union, but it's you know, and guys in red suits wearing a Chairman Mao, you know, medallion around their neck or something like that. But it's not, you know, it's who are the we? You know, the we are the, who are the we? I don't know. That's probably the first question I'm going to ask Jesus. You know, who are they? Who is we? Who is they, really, Lord? But, you know, this power, you know, this power, the powers that be, if you will, in this conscious, you know, effort to, one, demoralize society, and then destabilize, and then crisis, you know, and then it's restabilized, you know, and, you know, we're full in the crisis stage right now with this whole thing, and, you know, it's you know, one of the news shows I listen to, you know, he says it's governed by crisis, and, you know, which is where we are now in this whole plan, and, you know, and it all was brought about by the dumbing down through this demoralization, you know, to get, you know, people consumed with pleasure and consumed with their own fleshly needs. And ultimately then what's happened is this Babylonian church is, you know, feeds the flesh. That's what it says in Daniel. It's the bird, it's the cage of unclean and hateful birds, and all flesh is fed by it, you know. And this is the problem, because everybody's out there trying to feed their flesh today in this society of pleasure and prosperity that they've been taught that we're entitled to. And this is what you get. This is what you get. And, you know, it's you know, bottom line is it's not looking good, you know, for this thing, you know, for the future. It's just all about, you know, one-on-one with the Lord now and doing our best as male, you know, leaders of our families and, you know, going forward now, knowing what we know. But
Satan knew that he specifically had to undermine the authority of the would-be leader of the home, the husband and father. Chris, have you ever seen that movie 2012?
I have it here. I got it this weekend at the library, so I'll watch it this weekend.
Oh, you just got it?
I only just gotten it. I have avoided it for some reason, but
did I? I only watch it because I was in a room full of others who were watching it, and I even then I had to leave early. I didn't watch it. I was too disgusted.
I was just watching for the subliminal programming.
This is perfect, Chris. This is so perfect that you have that right now, and you're just okay. Wow, this is perfect for this show. Okay, Chris, when you watch that movie, okay, it's about the world ending and all this stupid Mayan calendar stuff.
Yeah, that's all Freemasonic. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. And there's just a myriad overblown special effects and all that. And it looks fantastic,
uh-huh.
Sure. But
yeah.
I'll remember this. Remember these words when you watch this movie. Believe it or not, that movie, yes, on a certain level it's about all that. But on another level, what that movie is about, oh, what it really is about, believe it or not, is it's about a father, literally, a husband and father, he literally, and I mean literally here, he literally has to save the world and save the planet and his family to him, to show his wife that he's not a loser. That is what that movie really is about. You watch and tell me. It's so bad for American dads and husbands right now that it's so cartoonish that it's come down to that.
If we can't literally, single-handedly save the world, we
yes.
are inadequate as a male.
That's right. That is what that movie is about. You watch it and tell me.
Okay, I will. I'll talk to you this week, and I'll definitely reflect on that.
Okay.
I mean, isn't that just something else? I mean, that's how I felt. That's how I felt. And, you know, I worked myself into a complete blithering, you know, blob. I was completely exhausted through all this, you know. Oh, my gosh. And
oh.
You know, this is where I am. But, yeah, that's what the Lord used, and he brought me to himself. And now, hey, here I am, you know, and what can I say?
Well, these get in. One more thing about the lawyers before we stop is those men, they do a great act male or female lawyers, because they're all in the same, they're all Pharisees. But they do such a wonderful act of acting as though they're your protectors, they're your defenders. And what happens when, okay, first of all, what usually happens is, it's the woman who gets beguiled by the state to go in and file for divorce. She goes in there, and the lawyer starts pressing her to literally make things up, to exaggerate bad things about your husband. I mean, one of the things that got brought up, that the reason I took my original site down, Chris, was the lawyer extracted from my wife that I'm a conspiracy nut and I have this website and I shouldn't be around my daughter, therefore.
Yeah.
All of these outlandish things, wow, and yet they claim to be your protectors. And so what happens is, just as when you first read that, you are so shocked and horrified, and you think, oh, my Lord, I'm never going to be able to see my daughter again now. So you go running out and get your lawyer, and you waste your half of the money on your lawyer, and you start making these countercharges, and you're both just hyperventilating and so panic-stricken. And the lawyers feed off of that and profit off of that, and they are... they're carrion feeders. They feed off of the dead corpses of husbands and wives who they've helped tear apart. And they pretend to be defending you the whole damn time. They are accursed Pharisees from hell, are almost all of the lawyers. And the only ones that aren't, they're the ones that haven't gotten out of the profession yet, Chris.
Well, honestly, you know, it's funny because we're studying Revelation chapter 11 and, you know, on Watchman Weekly right now, and... it's the woes, you know, the three woes, and I study the woes out, and it's always about woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. I mean, that's the woe, you know, it's a three-letter word that is very, you know, powerful, and it's all about that. Oh, gosh, I don't even know how far to go with that. You know, these Christian lawyers supporting these Christian marriages, you know, woe to them. That's what I can say, because, you know, this is the thing that killed me. Both, you know, my ex-wife's brother was her lawyer, Christian, of course.
Oh, you know, sure.
Family. And then my lawyer is a Christian, of course. You know, they're, you know, while waiting for the magistrate to do his thing, they're watching. I remember specifically, the magistrate's sneaking off into the other room to watch the score on the World Soccer Final something, you know, that everybody was watching at the time, some distraction.
That's where he's in the flesh.
Yeah, and then the two lawyers are there yucking it up, while I'm sitting there with the love of my life, you know, and my entire world crumbling before me, you know, and it's a joke, and you know, it's like, have a little respect here.
They feed off of the corpses of people they destroy.
Yeah, and it's actually probably it's probably a manifestation of where you see the eagles gathering. You know, they're the dead bodies are lying. I mean, this is all this dynamic that we're seeing right now. You know, the church is completely dead as far as doctrine and holding to the authority that God has given us. You know, forsaken that. You know, it says in Habakkuk that, you know, the law is slack and judgment does never go forth. You know, and this is what we have today. There's no judgment. See, there's no judgment. There's no discernment. There's no right or wrong. And yeah, you say it so clearly. It's just no fault divorce. I mean, it used to be hard to get a divorce, you know, to where it was so hard that by the time you got through it, you maybe said, you know, maybe not. Maybe this isn't the best for us.
Yeah, that's why it was called a vow that you took, not a promise.
Right. Right. You know, oh, it's just darn sad is what it is. And I'm just going to say that I just got to, you know, I'm going to be praying for you, Gordon, and, you know, God bless you and your family. And, oh, man,
we got to pray for each other.
Yeah. And now I just want to teach my girls. Oh, I wrote down that book you told me about teaching girls to be girls.
Oh, man. That author, that one is for young women, and that author, Helen Andelin, she has another book, or she wrote another book, teaching it specifically for girls. I forget the title of it, but just look up Helen Andelin. Oh, man, those... I'm telling you what, Chris, I knew a woman in my 20s, this woman, she was just brought up right for some reason, and she was just very plain looking, but she just by nature did what was in that book, and she would wear dresses, and she was respectful, and boy, even though she was very plain looking, Chris, she had no trouble finding men. No, women today, women and men, we're so stupid.
Yeah, that feminine is so attractive.
Oh, yeah, you want to, women, they want to attract men, they want to accentuate the differences from themselves, from men. Not wear jeans and watch football, no. It's only young men who are still trying to find themselves who are attracted to that. Real men who are sure of themselves and know they're men, they want women, not manly women.
Oh, I know. And I'm sitting here now, my little 8-year-old boy, you know, who's the light of my life, you know, I just thank the Lord for, I don't know what I'd do without this little guy. He's by my side all the time. And well, we got into wrestling. He's wrestling now up at the school, and he loves it. You know, he just thrives on it. And but in this wrestling, Gordon, are two little girls. And I'm going to myself, you got to be kidding me. What are these parents thinking? And, it's just such a crime.
Which wrestling?
Wrestling. You know, it, elementary school wrestling.
I would never allow it.
They've got little girls wrestling with the boys. I mean, you know, grabbing private parts, the whole thing.
I find it disgusting and repulsive of the fathers that would allow their women to be in their daughters to be into that. I do.
No, it's just absolutely it's an atrocity. But it's a commentary on what we have today. This is where we are. And it's happened. It's happened. Now what? You know, what are we to do now? You know, with these, I guess it's just, as we influence our daughters, we influence our kids to do the right thing. You know, that's so huge, the way that you just said to accentuate the differences. Because really, for goodness sakes, that's what we want. That's what's so exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it needs to be promoted. But the bottom line is, you know, I hate to be the doom and gloom guy, but I am. You know, this thing's run its course, and it's and now we're just out here in the wilderness, you know, fending for our lives essentially, and you know, in the spiritual realm, and it's just a matter of you know, the men doing everything they can do to be the leader of their household, you know, and it's basically going to come from studying to show yourself approved and teaching your family. Because, you know, that's the best advice I'd say to any man out there right now, is to get your family the hell out of church. Keep them out of there. Because that's the worst thing, is the churches. Because they feed this. They feed this whole thing.
Yes.
And they don't realize they're doing it. But, I mean, I picked up my, I'm cleaning up here at my house. You know, I'm back in my old house now. I'm sitting here in my old farmhouse all by myself. My wife's dream house. And I'm back here now, you know, trying to keep this thing going, but I find an old church directory in the cupboard here. I pull it out and I start leafing through it, and I just wanted to cry. You know, like half of the families in there are broken up now, divorced,
yep.
Stuff. In my church, and I'm going, what the heck is this? This is just. But you know, you realize that's what the Babylonian. It's all about the flesh, and this is the key to everything. It's you know, people are feeding their flesh. And this is where this is where it gets you. Nowhere. You know, it gets you to this, point of complete and total depravity. And, you know, now I'm just watching I gotta say, my ex-wife, you know, I know she's on a collision course with reality, and, you know, and I'm just praying for her and hoping that, you know, I'm just gonna love her and even though she won't accept the love, but just waiting for the time when, you know, I pray the Lord breaks her of her, of her will and you know, she repents to say okay, and you know, because that's what's coming, because this is what's happening now, is this whole system's running it's going to be a matter of time when people say, okay, that's enough now. You know, that's all I can stand. You know, some of these sects in the evangelical church system are getting so blatantly occultic in some of their witchcraft that they're coming up with, you know, no word of God at all, you know, anywhere to be found in these doctrines of men that they're coming up with, leading these people that are just looking for more, because they're all starving and they don't know it. And, you know, it's the only thing that's going to satisfy them is the word of God. You know, the fountains of living water. You know, they've dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And, you know, here we are just watching this thing run out, and it's going to be a matter of the people that do, you know, realize as they go. And that's when the Lord's gathering his flock one by one, it says. And you know, in the meantime, we can just protect our own households, you know, the people the Lord's entrusted to us. And I'm going to commit to you, Gordon, to be your friend and hold you accountable and ask you how you're doing. And you know, I'd ask the same from you. And, man, I tell you, we're just going to have to keep plugging, huh, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, I just looked at my bookshelf here. I have an extra copy of this Fascinating Womanhood. If you want to email me your address, I'll send it to you.
I would love that, because I was planning on getting that that book from the girls. Absolutely.
When I read this a couple of years ago, and just as a guy, I was reading this thinking, holy smokes, if a girl did all this that stuff, I would be so I would basically do whatever she wanted.
Anyway, irony.
That's the irony, Chris. The irony is this. Because it's all about being submissive also. The irony is you do what this woman says. It's all biblical, even though she doesn't, I don't think, cites the Bible. But if a woman does this, she's submissive, and yet she could her husband would be putty in her hands, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but the right way. Well, yeah, I got to say, you know, I'm not going to say everything's, you know, it's so hard to be not be judgmental with this media and everything. But I got to say that, like the good old fashioned Greek Wedding. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it really was. I'm not, but yeah, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. But what did the mother said? She said, "The man is the head, but the woman is the neck." She turns the head, and I thought, you know, in a way that's funny, and in a way that's okay, because that's the way it's supposed to be, because that was a good old ethnic family. The family was such a big thing all through time. You know, I think even that's why I think now is why we know we're at this point. I don't think that the family has ever been under this attack. I mean, there's been all the evil through the generations, but the family seems like it's always been there, right? Till now. I don't know of any time in history that the family's been under this kind of attack. I mean, I don't know during the original Roman Empire. I'm sure that there was plenty, but there was always a family unit intact. But even now in the Christian evangelical churches, which is modern day spiritual Israel, there's no family, you know, the families, you know, even the families that are there are broken families. You know, even though they're a family, they're a blended family with divorce, you know, from one or both parties. And it's just crazy.
We got to be living in those times that Paul described in, what was it, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, where
perilous times.
People are going to be lovers of themselves, and the whole litany. We got to be in those times. Wow.
Yeah, and there's no future in it, because you know, feeding the flesh is a dead end street, you know, but you know, life in the spirit is joy and peace, and peace that surpasses understanding. Those basic Christian 101 doctrines that have fallen by the wayside.
And how? Well, I think I should probably go in and start getting our house ready for Thanksgiving. My wife's family, all her relatives are coming over.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to vacuum and mop the floor and do a bunch of nice things for her.
That's awesome. That's good. That's what you're supposed to do.
Sure, yeah. You're
supposed to help. And, you know, I got to say, I certainly was the you know, didn't do my part for a lot of years, you know. And I look back on it with such regret because I certainly did pretty much everything wrong myself, you know. And I certainly can't blame anybody. Had I been in the Word like I was supposed to be and, you know, diligently seeking the Lord, submitting to His authority as I should have been through my years, who knows? But here I am today. You know, and the Lord turns things around. Repentance is always the key.
Well, there's an irony there, Chris. Had you been in the Word like you said earlier, you would have left that church on your own earlier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, you know, if coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? But that's what our life is. And
I'm full of those. Yeah.
Yeah, we're sojourners on this planet, you know, for the purpose of God preparing us for eternity, and this is what it takes. And anyway, well, you know, I wanted to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and that's one of the holidays that I still say is okay. That's okay. You know, I'm kind of dreading the whole Christmas thing coming up here again. This is going to be my second non-Christmas.
This is a good holiday. The Pilgrims had it right. And they're not the Puritans. They were separate from the Puritans. The Pilgrims, man, they got so much right. They abolished lawyers. There was no usury. There was a lot of stuff the Pilgrims had, boy, that was dead. Oh, and unlike the Puritans, the Pilgrims were separatists. They were not dominionists. They believed in not getting involved with the government, but just coming out from it.
They were separatists. I'm a separatist.
Yeah.
That's what we should do.
Me too.
We need to bring back the separatist party.
Right, the Pilgrim Party, the Sojourner Party.
Oh, that's really profound, Gordon. The separatists, that's the opposite of the dominionists.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Wow. We'll have to do a show on that sometime.
Oh, they sure, yeah. Well, email me your address and I'll mail you this book.
Oh, thank you for that. That's fantastic. And, we'll just keep plugging along. It's a pleasure to have you as a friend, buddy.
Yeah, likewise. Boy, I'm glad I met you.
Well, we'll keep plugging. I'm here if you need me.
Okay.
You and yours have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, likewise, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
They see you, brother.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah.